Due to the graphic nature of this podcast, listener discretion is advised. This is a work of fiction that contains adult language, murder, and death that some people may find offensive. We advise extreme caution for children under 13. This is Everyday Death. I was the one that broke the silent, staring contest in the rearview mirror. "Frankie, take me to that hangout spot. You must know where it is," I insisted, breaking the staring contest between he and I. "Reese, no. I'm not wasting any more time on this shit." He turned to his partner. "Ian, this was stupid. I'm turning around. We're done." "Don't you dare." I shoved myself forward so I was on the edge of the seat, my face as close as I dared to the back of his head. "You dragged me into this. You can't just pretend nothing I've said has mattered." My ex coldly growled through clenched teeth. "I'm not pretending, Reese. It doesn't." Ian stared out the passenger window, rubbing his close-cropped beard carefully. The rain was picking up. Now the only sound in the car was the thump-thump of the wipers. Frankie turned the squad car around on a side street, heading back toward the main street of town. It seemed like they would have been content to just sit in silence. If Ian had a different viewpoint from Frankie, he certainly wasn't going to fight with his partner over it in front of me. I was seething. "You are a bastard, Frankie. That girl is dead, out there, alone, and you are just going to let her lie forgotten because you don't want to admit, even for just a second, that I might be telling the truth. What harm exactly would come of going out to where those kids party and seeing if I can pick up on anything else?" "You can't put her family through this shit, Reese," Frankie retorted. "Oh, I didn't, in case you forgot. Ian is the one that had them on fucking speakerphone and didn't even have the balls to let me know that. If he had, maybe I would have known to censor what I was saying and tell you the part where she was likely murdered when you didn't have them on the phone. No, you two idiots put them through this shit." I tried the door handle angrily when he pulled over sharply a block away from my store, forgetting that it didn't actually open from the inside because, well, cop car. Frankie got out, whipped the door open, and growled, "Get out, Reese." I snatched up my bag and stalked off into the rain, hearing him slam the driver's door and whip the squad car around faster than he should have. I didn't look back. I certainly wasn't giving him the satisfaction of watching me look like a pitiful drowned rat. I went straight up to the apartment, texting Jamie to let them know I was back. I asked them to close up for me when the time came. I had something to take care of. Namely, a warm shower and a hot cup of coffee, but first, I wrote down everything I could remember having seen, heard, or felt during that car ride. I wanted details to stick because I had a feeling this wouldn't be the last time I tried to reach this poor girl. After a hot shower, I settled onto my couch with a blanket and a tablet. I was flipping through some images on the internet of satellite photos of our sleepy little town. There was a good amount of homesteads, but also a vast area of woodlands and mountainous wilderness that made upstate Vermont both charming and dangerous. Jewel came home, not expecting to see me upstairs. Surprised, there was concern in her voice as she asked, "Mom, is everything all right?" "Well, depends on who you ask, I suppose. Put your bag away, we'll talk." I needed to warn Jewel. If there was someone aiming to do harm out there, she needed to be aware. I poured my daughter some coffee and she sat on the couch next to me. I told her about the car ride, the reading. I left out the fight with her father. As close as Jewel and I are, I try to make sure I'm not putting her in the middle of whatever goes on between Frankie and I, unless it's on a need-to-know basis. "Dad must have been pissed. I can't imagine he took it well," Jewel finally responded when I told the tale. "He never likes it when we talk about anything like that. Steph either. She grounds me for it. She says not to talk about it in front of the boys." I slowly sipped coffee. "Honey, you know I'm not going to fill you in on the details of the fight between me and your father. Still, I need you both to keep this quiet, as the girl's family is still looking for her, but also to be very careful. I don't know who did this, but just don't take risks." "Who is it?" Jewel asked. I paused. I wasn't given a name, but there's a photo. Frankie had been so angry he hadn't bothered to take the printout back for me. I got up and pulled it from my jacket pocket. It was hard to unfold from the soaking, and the ink had run a little. I managed to open it without too much damage, but it was no longer a very clear image. I sat back down and passed my daughter the photo. This girl, do you know her? Jewel studied it for a few moments. I think it's Cassie DiPietro. I haven't seen her much since her parents sent her away to that dance school, but she came back to the studio last summer when she was home on break. She was showing off a bit, I think. She used to be in my dance class until she was 14, I think. Then her parents sent her off. I felt a slight twinge of guilt. Jewel had never shown a professional interest in dance. It was something she did for the love of it. But if she had wanted to go off to a dance school like that girl did, I never could have afforded to send her. Still, we were open enough for me to know she wasn't bitter. She wanted to go into studying wildlife, not the arts. Well, if that is Cassie, I remember you telling me she was pretty popular before she left. Maybe she was reconnecting with someone back here, I mused. Jewel wasn't one of the most popular kids in school. She was somewhere in the middle ground, but still, one wrong party invite and I wasn't sure what that would lead to. Party invite. Jewel, I asked thoughtfully, do you know where the kids might party in the woods? Mom, you know I'm not into the party scene, she replied, almost sounding angry. I knew her and Frankie had been at it over this a few times. Frankie didn't trust her as much as I did. I know, but have you at least heard about the spots? Could you point me in a direction? I pressed. Jewel was thoughtful for a moment. It was clearly a moment of being torn between wanting to give me information and narking on her friends. Jewel, you know I'm not going to tell anyone's parents. I just want to go out there so I can maybe connect with this girl again. Hopefully get her found. That's all, I assured her. She mimicked my stall tactic, sipping on her own coffee. I've been there during the day, once or twice. There's like two or three spots. We can try those, but Mom, we're going during the day. We? Oh no, I am definitely not dragging my daughter into the woods with a possible murderer on the loose. No thank you. Give me very explicit directions, I retorted firmly. Mom, come on, you won't find it without me. Try me, kid. She was mature most of the time, but still, 17. I knew what I was like at that age, and there hadn't been a murderer in the woods. She huffed. Ugh. Fine, but if you can't find it, I'm coming the second time. Deal? Deal, I told her. But you will be staying in the car with a cell phone. Also, Jewel, I know this goes without saying, but please... Yeah, I know. Don't tell Dad. I know the drill. Besides, he made it pretty clear that he's not going to look into it beyond a missing persons case, so... She paused, a downcast look to her face. I'd want someone looking if it was me. She was my age, Mom, so please. Let me help too if I can. I won't be stupid, I just don't want to leave her out there. I hugged her, tightly. I promise, baby girl, I will keep you informed. I'll be as open as I have always been. You need to promise me that you will absolutely not take risks or go out there on your own. I don't want it to be you I'm looking for next. Do you hear me? Loud and clear, Mum. Loud and clear. Locked in my daughter's warm embrace, the smell of some kind of body spray and sweat from her dance class lingering on her, I fought off the thought that somewhere, a girl her age would be cold and smell of decay and forest debris. I had to find that girl. Everyday Death is written and produced by Melissa Croft. I hope you are enjoying this story. If you enjoy what you are hearing, please subscribe to hear new episodes every Monday. Thank you for listening.